come forever and ever and ever.
Folks, before we get started with the homemade broadcast, I want to tell you quickly about NTTFitness.com. What is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you're like me, if you're like most Americans, you're fat, you're lazy, you want food, and you want it now. You're hungry, you're going to go through the Burger King drive-thru, and you're going to get one of those dollar tacos because you want to see what all the fuss is about, and you're disappointed. And you should be. You should be ashamed of yourself. NTT Fitness is a food delivery service. But it's not just food. It's good food, and it's good for you. If you use my code LEVELUP15, you'll get 15% off your first order. There's macros. There's micros. It's stuff you should put in your body. NTTFitness.com. LEVELUP15. 15% off your first order. All right, let's start the show.
Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3. 2, 1.
I think I'm gonna rent a Monte Carlo. Drive around the neighborhood like real slow. I love Lucy, I'm Ricky Ricardo. Hey, I'm Mary, meet me in the end zone.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Coos. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. If you have not, please do subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast, pretty much. I did get a message from a guy who goes, it's not on this very obscure platform that I use. And I go, dude, I don't know what to tell you. I spent so much time trying to figure out where to put this goddamn podcast. And as far as every time I put it on, it comes back. Oh, it's not on this one. It's not on this one. You know what? Figure it out, guys. He's messaging me. Just go to the website. HMBRadio.com/listen. Worst case scenario, you can just play it on there, on your phone, from the website. Mobile web. Beautiful thing. 2020. Who would have thought you would have had the whole internet on a cell phone slash tracking device that is in your pocket? Yes, you're being tracked by the government. It knows where you are at all times. It could tell you if you've been exposed to the coronavirus somehow, you know, just by contact tracing. You could turn it off, but it's still there. They give you the, yeah, oh, yeah, you're in control of your data and where you are on the planet. No, you're not. Okay? Yes, you're going to be tracked by the government. But you get to listen to podcasts whenever you want, even if it's not on your favorite platform, wherever you get your podcast, which it's probably is. You know, why are you using, what is the one he told me? He said it's not on, oh, geez. Now I got to go through my damn messages. He says it's not on Playapod. Didn't know that existed. I got to be honest with you. Stitcher, iTunes, that's where you listen to podcasts, not Playapod. Spotify. There you go. That's a good one. I know for a fact it's on there. iHeartRadio. It should be on there. I had a guy, what's not on iHeartRadio? I use our, okay. So I submitted it. As far as I know, it's been accepted. I don't know. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts have their thing. Amazon probably has their thing. Those are the ones you use. You don't use these, you know, pleb, you know, devices. I appreciate this guy reaching out and letting me know that it's not on Playapod, but I don't know what to do about it. I can't keep up. There's so many goddamn places that you have to put this stupid thing. Ay, ay, ay. 813-693-2124. Do subscribe to it on Playapod. If that's where you listen to it, it's probably not there. But if not, go to the website, hmbradio.com/listen, and you can play it from the mobile web. I hope you're well. I'm good. I feel much better this week. I don't know if Anna's going to be on or not this week. Sorry. Just ran into some time crunches. And I don't know. She might be, though. We'll see. I'm going to see if I can con her into calling in. If not, she wants to come in because we usually record her podcast, which you can get on her SoundCloud. I don't know what she's doing with that either. Gosh, you think Playapod? Oh, my God, Anna. They're going to want it on Playapod. She doesn't know what that is. I don't know what that is. I mean, I know the concept of it, but I didn't know that existed. She's still on SoundCloud. What are you doing? I said, get a website. Get a real podcast host. Not SoundCloud, which is for rappers. Get, oh man, I don't know. I use Audio Boom, but there's plenty of them out there. Cheap, you know, fairly inexpensive, and you know, you're able to distribute your podcast that way, get it on iTunes and stuff. But, you know, she's her own creature. She's her own animal. I can only give unsolicited advice. I can't expect her to take it and use it, even though it's correct and the right thing to do. You know, she's got to make her own mistakes, so... we usually record hers when we record mine, and it's a lot of work for me. I offered to do it for, like, editing and putting it together. It doesn't take me too long, but, you know, I'm working two jobs as it is, you know, full-time in radio, full-time at my other job, and putting together a podcast weekly is not that big of a deal, but it's something that I have to do every week, because I might get fired, as we discussed last week, because who knows, you slip up and say something that's out of the ordinary line of the Overton window, then you will be terminated, especially in my position where it doesn't matter if I'm there or not. Literally, a replay could be, like, inside baseball here, I love CMG, I love 102.5 The Bone. I love the concept of it. I love all the personalities on it. Even the ones I don't like, I still respect them greatly, and I think that they're very talented at their job. We have a cool thing going there. But realistically, in radio after drive time, it is not lucrative. I mean, it's not lucrative as it is now, I guess. Well, it is for some people. But the business itself, you know, after 6 o'clock... Yes, there's ratings, but it's just not a, exponentially the audience goes down after 6 p.m. Just people aren't in their cars. You know, most people are working during the day. We get a lot of people that listen at night because they're Ubering or they are, you know, working shelves, working overnights, working graveyard, you know. But, I mean, it's exponentially lower than people that work during the day. So, I mean, yes, we're there, and I think they're happy to have us. They like what we're doing. You know, at the nighttime, it's just not, we're easily replaceable. Let's just put it that way. And we're easily replaceable by replays of big shows. Like, the Bones lineup is sick. They got a lot of, I mean, Calta's a legend. You know, Roger and JP are there in New York. They've been in business a long time. They do a great show. Drew Garabo Live is, you know, moving along, pedaling along. They put out great, like, everybody's doing well. SBK's awesome show. They're all really good shows. And I like the Johnny B. It's just that we are not, don't have the same, we don't provide enough of a service to the company. If we did screw up, it would just be easy to go, okay, bye. I think they want us. They would rather us be there. Sure. No doubt about that. But if it came down to it, if somebody really wanted us gone, they'd probably be like, okay, we'll get rid of him. Please leave us alone. So I want to make sure I do put out a podcast just in case I inevitably do say something, because I tend to do that terminates my ability to work at that company anymore. I don't know. Hopefully not, but it's definitely something I worry about. I'm self-censoring, as I've talked about last week. I've talked about it on air where somebody calls in and goes, hey, what do you guys think of Jacob Blake in Wisconsin? I just go, oh, God, no. Please, no. Please, no. Please, no. And I usually let Johnny handle it because he's, we don't want to talk about this stuff. We're tired of it. I like talking about this stuff. I like culture war stuff. and I used to save it for the podcast. I'm nervous to touch these things, though. Just because, like I said, I want to keep my job. That fear of losing that radio job is keeping me from saying things that I would like to say. Like the N-word. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. God, I never say that. I'm just kidding. That could get me in trouble. See, now I'm automatically thinking, should I go back and delete that? Clearly a joke, guys and girls, or they-bees. Can't make jokes anymore. It's not, you're not responsible for what you say. You're responsible for how people take what you say. So, yeah, whenever somebody calls in about anything that's happened or is happening in the world, I go, oh, no, oh, no. Because if you're not like, yeah, cops were wrong, that guy is an angel, and that's it, that's all I have to say about that, then you run into problems because some people will call you names that could get you fired. Well, this person is a you know which word I'm talking about. Starts with an R. And then you got that stigma on you, and then forget it. You'll never convince people who don't want to believe you anyways. Doesn't matter what you say. That's why I'd also never apologize for anything that I said. That is a huge mistake. When you get in a car accident, what is the one thing that you hear the attorneys tell you on TV? Don't apologize. If you apologize, you admit fault. So never, don't apologize, unless you're really sorry. I don't know if I've heard a sincere apology from anybody that said anything. Ever. Ever. The guy that got busted for saying the F word for gay, the broadcaster, which was really funny, by the way. A terrible thing to say. I shouldn't have said it. But just the way he said it, his cadence, the way he said it. Tom, what was his name? He's for the Cincinnati Reds. This is old news, by the way, but I'm going to see if I can find it. You probably already heard this many times, but this guy, Tom Brenneman.
The f***ing capitals of the world.
Oops.
Reds live, the pregame
show. So he was on a hot, just that bang, little world. He's got that announcer voice, you know. Actually, let me stop this recording and go back and bleep what he said so I don't forget. Hang on. Yeah, so you didn't even know. I just went back, stopped, edited. Don't even need to tell you this. You wouldn't even have known. But that's the beauty with podcasting. That is one thing I like about podcasting over radio is the freedom that you have. If you say something stupid or something that's inappropriate or, I don't know, you just mess up. I stumble over my words all the time. I'm a professional broadcaster, and I am an ass, a mumble-mouthed ass from time to time. So it's nice to be able to go back and edit and not have to worry about that stuff. But he gave a very sincere apology this time, Brenneman character, during the game. I'm sure you've heard about this already. I'm sorry to bring it up, but it just reminded me of the not apologizing thing. So he was, during the game, he gave a sincere apology and managed to also call a home run. The game was still going on. He goes, I said something that was awful, and it's not who I am. And, oh, there's a shot to right center field, and that's a home run for the Reds. And I don't know if I'm going to have a job anymore after this. It was really good. So I get why he has to do that, obviously. It's worth a shot, but I don't even know what happened to him. What did happen to him? Did he get fired? I'm assuming he probably did. Tom Brenneman fired? Google? Should be fired. Our role is to forgive. Can be fired by the Reds. Begs for his job. Suspended. He got suspended by Fox Sports. I wonder if that would just turn into him being fired. I don't know. I mean, I hope they don't fire him. I mean, so there's this deal, like, I think with words, and I've had this discussion with people, and they've disagreed with me, and maybe you disagree. Patrice O'Neill actually said this. Patrice O'Neill, great legendary comedian, my favorite comedian, dead, of course, dead, died early. He had talked about the difference, and I think it was on an Opie and Anthony. I couldn't find the clip, but he talked about the difference of there being a difference between something being inherently racist and involving race. So he used it like, if somebody uses a word, does that automatically make them racist? A lot of people go, yeah, it does. And I've had this discussion before, and they won't budge on it. I tend to agree with him. You use a word, if you're in a fight with somebody, your adrenaline is spiked up, and you're, you know, it's about to go down. You're angry, your adrenaline's high, you want to hurt this person in any way you can, physically and mental games, whatever. You will say things in the heat of the moment that you would never, ever say rationally in a clear state of mind, not only because you're afraid to say it, like, I want to say it, I just don't, but you're not a piece of garbage. You understand that, you know, we're all human beings here, most people anyways. And you would never say those things. So I think you can say words that, while they're terrible, yes, if you put them in some sort of context like that, where, now I don't know what Tom's deal was. I'm not trying to stick up for Tom. You have to make that distinction very early. But I don't know what the context of that was. I want to know what city he was talking about. That would be interesting. I looked at the red schedule, and it was like, it wasn't anywhere I would think. I was like, oh, they're heading to San Francisco, St. Petersburg, maybe. But no, it was like weird cities like Cleveland or something. So I don't know, like, maybe he was saying it like a schoolyard kid would say it, like calling someone gay or something. Like, that doesn't mean, when you were a kid, you didn't even know what that meant. It was just like a slur that kind of got passed around. It meant like, you're a dweeb, you're a dork. It was in that same essence. You know what I mean? But some people just push back against that immediately and go, no. They don't really explain why. They just go, you just can't use those words. You go, oh, okay. I mean, I don't, generally. But if you ever did, where you got in a situation, like, why would you do that? Like, every broadcaster, radio person knows, you always assume the mic is on and broadcasting live over the air. So you don't say things that you normally say. Like, Johnny and I will sit in studio and we make up songs, parody songs based off the commercial jingles that are playing, and they are horrendous. And it makes me nervous doing it. We still do it because it's fun. But oh my God, if that ever went out over the air, there'd be no chance. I wouldn't even bother apologize. I'd be like, I understand. Goodbye. Thank you for the opportunity. And I'll see you later. Because we say the most horrendous, disgusting, nasty, I mean, everything you can imagine and can't imagine. I mean, I'm shocked with some of the stuff that comes out of our brains when we're doing this. But it's hysterical. It makes us laugh very hard, and it's for that enjoyment. And so those words that are used are not literal. They're art. They're lowbrow art, yes, but we're stringing together the language in order to create some sort of thing that creates a visceral reaction of laughter. That's the idea. There's no hate behind it. So I don't know what Tom's situation was. Yeah, that was just a dumb move on his part. Maybe he should be fired. I don't know. This is old news, but if you have an opinion on it, I'd love to hear it. 813-693-2124. This podcast, we lost a sponsor. We lost St. John's Pain Treatment Center. Sorry to see them go. Still check them out. They really are a good operation. And Dawn, the lady that I was working with, she was sad to go too. But so maybe they'll be back. I don't know. They just had to trim some of the budget. But do check out St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. And also, of course, my girl Chrissy and Truvy Salon and Spa. T-R-U-V is in victory. Y Salon and Spa.com. 8908 4th Street North. Unit B right here. Good old St. Petersburg. Make your appointment today. Truvy Salon and Spa.com.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioSt.Pete.com.
This week in Stupid Victories, Dixie Hollins High School, locally here in St. Pete. Well, they're racist. Yeah, sorry. Dixie, ever heard of it. Whistling Dixie, tied with the South, tied with Civil War, aka Bad Guys. Don't know if you know this or not. Dixie Hollins, okay. They're the Rebels. Oh, okay, well, I can kind of see that might be a problem. Dixie and the Rebels. Okay, all right, fair enough, fair enough. Let's talk about it. Pinellas Dixie M. Hollins High School has announced that it will now be referred to as Hollins High. The school is located at 62nd Street North in St. Pete, made the announcement on Monday. While the name change isn't official, the change is significant, and the students and the community have had issues with the word Dixie. The problem is that it's not a word in this case. It's a proper noun. It's a man's name. His name was Dixie Hollins, right? The school was named after the county's first superintendent, the progressive Dixie M. Hollins, who advocated for black students' equal rights. Oh, but as Hollins' great-granddaughter told Creative Loafing, who started this, by the way, some woman saw the word Dixie and goes, nope, I can't allow this to happen, and wrote a story about it, which got the kids at the high school all riled up. They, in turn, started a petition and gave it to the principal, and that's how this whole thing started. So way to go, guys. These little small victories that you're adding up. The war on proper nouns. Way to go. So the granddaughter said, listen, you know, the fact that he advocated for access to a better education for black students in the early 20th century underscores the irony that his first name is associated with racism. Well, his name isn't associated with anything because it's his name. The principal, Robert Florio, hoping to form a partnership and hoping to provide a history to the students about the progressive triumphs of her great grandfather, said, I feel emotional that they care enough to keep his last name, and we hope to provide more history to the school, the granddaughter told the publication in July. The school deserves to have an opportunity to rebrand, as they're working so hard to be an inclusive school that they've done so much work toward that. Consider it done. They are, way to go. Very well done, guys. Outlets just going after people that are dead, who were progressive individuals helping minorities and black students get fair and equal education standards. Way to go. Way to freaking go, guys. It's so ridiculous. God damn, man. I mean, everything's going to have to be renamed. What other names have Dixie in it? Companies with Dixie. Dixie Cups. Uh-oh, guess what? Sorry, guys. You're going to have to get rid of your Winn-Dixie. Oh, nope. Can't do it. Can't do it. What else? Cups. We got the grocery store chain, Dixie Ice Cream Company. Uh-oh, bad news, guys. Going to have to change your name. It doesn't matter. Winn-Dixie is, there's a guy named Winn, and there was a guy named Dixie. Last names. And they created this grocery store chain. Well, too bad. I almost cursed. Too bad, idiot. Can't do it. Got to get out of here. Got to frig off. You're racist because your name's Dixie. That's where we're at, though, right now. And people are just going, okay. I don't want to start any trouble. So, I'm not racist or anything. So, I don't want to, that's fine. Do what you have to do. Please just don't hurt me, because I'm on your side. It's just like the kids that were cheering I think it was Dallas or something, and was when the protesters first started happening, and these college kids are playing beer pong up in their apartment, and they're going, yeah, banging on the window, thumbs up, and it perfectly summed everything up, and all of a sudden you just see a rock come flying through the window, and they're going, we're on your side! Why? We're on your side. You just go, yeah, there is no sides here. That's what you don't understand. There are no sides here. I mean, there are sides, and it's join or die. But you still might get caught in a crossfire. You dare not to get totally on board. You could be on board with 9/10 of the things. Nope. That ain't good enough. You want to keep a man's name on a high school? Well, sorry, bucko. Which, you know, Dixie Hollins, they were called the Rebels. And even I'm like, I don't really have an attachment to that or anything, but so is Old Miss, you know, the college. Mississippi removed the corner of the flag that was the Confederate flag from their state flag, so they had to rebrand that. And I look at these things and I go, I see what you're talking about. You know, I do understand to a certain point, but that is a lot of, like, it just doesn't stop. It tends to just keep going, and more things need to be changed. And what people warned about when the Confederate stuff had to go is soon they're going to be coming after, you know, the originators of this country. And a lot of these people, like, you say it and people roll their eyes at it, but a lot of people don't want America to exist. They want a fresh restart. Everything needs to go because it was bad. Everybody's history, everywhere, and all over the world, and still in a lot of parts of the world, are really bad. They're not very nice. They don't treat people well. I mean, I can't think of one that was perfect utopia society anywhere in the world. We tend to venerate every other culture, but ours is just, we don't feel comfortable talking about that. That's not our culture. We feel comfortable making doo-doo on this one. Okay. And even that, I go, okay. I see the logic, at least. But this is a war that is just not going to be won. I mean, we're going to have, the utopia happened. It happened in the 80s and 90s. This is the degeneration of a utopia. And this is what I talked about last week, where I'm not super optimistic. I am in certain ways and not in the others. I don't think we're going to be able to continue like we were. We're going to have to build something new is going to happen, some sort of technology built, I don't know, society. We're all going to, technology is not a choice anymore. It's not like you cannot use a smartphone at this point. Yeah, I know you can get by with a flip phone, but not real. I mean, very few people have that. Even if you don't need it, they choose. It's just, it makes their life so much easier that they kind of adapt to the new technology, whatever that may be, cell phones, computers. You know, you kind of have to use the technology. Is it a choice or is it forced kind of upon you? And I don't think it's forced by just making the world conform to it. So things that are adapted, you know, you don't have to use them if you don't want to, but it's going to be a lot easier on you if you do. So it is kind of just by that essence alone. So the utopia happened in the 80s and 90s. Then the technological revolution kind of came along, and now we're at now where we're being tracked and talked about earlier, being tracked at all times, and everybody knows where we are, and the state was in total control of everything. And it distracts us. You know, touching a little bit more on what I said last week where I'm considering not voting is when you have like a king or a dictator, that's a one story, like this is the way it is. This is history and it's presented to you. And I think citizens look at it and go, is this true? Then when you get into the two story system like we have here, where you got the Democrats and you got the Republicans and they fight in the news and they play golf when they're off camera. Then you look at these stories, these histories that are being presented, and you go, which one of these is true? So it's a quick sleight of hand. So they still have control of the narrative, whether it's a one story or two story state. And I just don't believe it's going to matter too much who the president is going to be. I know it drives some people nuts. I got messages about it that it does matter. Maybe. I'm not saying I'm right. I just, the conclusions that I'm drawing from this thing are, this is inevitable and the state is going to be the state. I don't know if the state was created by man or if it just kind of evolves into a political system. I don't know how it works exactly, but it's all about capturing and maintaining power. And the Democrats and the Republicans are operatives of the state. They are opposite sides of the same coin, and they all want the same thing with minute differences that are argued about constantly in the news and on Twitter, and it keeps us fighting each other. And I don't want to sound like a hippie. I hate hippies. I hate everybody, really. We all have our faults. Hate myself. So I'm not exclusionary here. I'm very equal opportunity. But I just believe it is a thinly disguised shield to keep some very unpleasant people in power. And if you participate in it, if you pick one of those people, then you are agreeing and consenting to it. And, you know, you go off the rails. I know if you're just a Democrat or Republican, you listen to you rolling your eyes and being like, you idiot. I get it. I totally do understand that. I've heard people say this to me before. Oh, the, you know, consent, I don't consent, natural law, natural rights. And, oh, yeah, I know. It's frustrating. So I guess I'll just leave it there. But I did get some messages. Y'all, you need to vote. You need to vote. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I haven't committed to anything yet, but I really, truly, in my heart, don't believe that it's really going to matter, because the end goal of those two factions is really the same, which is to control and to maintain power. And they're equal operatives of the state, the giant conglomerate that rules our day-to-day lives and tracks us, and we're totally under their bidding. And they just keep us fighting with each other. So anyway, Dixie Hollins High School, way to go. Very progressive, getting rid of a proper noun and ditching the name Rebels. So now be the Royals. And, of course, they can't change the name officially because it's a person's name. So they're just going to leave off the Dixie part. Call it Rollins or Hollins, sorry. Hollins High Royals. Welcome. Welcome. You did a good thing out there. People pointed this out and brought it to their attention. These are battles worth fighting. Head to the polls in November. Listen, and before we move on from this, I just want to, I think, to nail it in your head, something that you already know. Everybody I talk to knows this and is in complete agreement that politicians are scum of the earth. I mean, how we get fooled every November into voting for any of these people is shocking. Because they don't play by the same rules that they make us follow. And here's a good example of that. Here's a video that Tom Elliott put together on Twitter of the powerful not following the rules, the COVID rules. And this stemmed from the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, getting her hair done while all salons in San Francisco are closed. There's been plenty of examples of this. And he put together a supercut of some instances of just the COVID lockdowns and the restrictions that they put on us that they are themselves are not following.
An 80-year-old part-time Napa resident called Nancy Pelosi can be seen slinking through a San Francisco hair salon. It's due to coronavirus regulations, salons in San Francisco are closed for indoor services.
As it turns out, it was a setup, so I take responsibility for falling for a setup. I think that that this salon owes me an apology.
You went to the gym yesterday and Twitter lost its mind.
I don't get it, but we'll move on with our lives. The gyms are all closed now, Allison.
I did not for a moment think there was anything problematic because I knew the dynamics. And again, I have to stay healthy so I can make the decisions for the people of this city.
Did Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham play by her own rules when she ordered non-essential stores to shut down and lectured all New Mexicans to stay home? A non-essential business open so she could buy jewelry.
Where's the first lady? Has she engaged in non-essential travel? What is your response to people who say the stay-at-home order and non-essential travel bans aren't being abided by your family?
So I'm just not going to answer that question. It's inappropriate, and I find it reprehensible.
For New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, letting people go to church was just too dangerous, but protesting? Fine.
Are you concerned about a spike in cases when you combine reopening and the protests?
I think you have to be, but the alternative, is not feasible. I don't see it.
Certain parts of the First Amendment are better than others.
In Michigan, over this past weekend, Governor Gretchen Whitmer's husband decided to violate his own wife's orders by traveling across the state to use his boat. When the marina told him they could not put the boat in the water, Gretchen Whitmer's husband let them know that his wife was the governor. Don't you know who I am?
As you know, haircuts certainly not essential during this pandemic, unless you're the mayor of Chicago. A photo recently surfaced of Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot posing with a hairdresser after getting a haircut. Now, she has defended herself, saying that she needed a haircut because she is the public face of the city.
Debbie, getting your roots done is not essential.
The state has launched an investigation into the nail bar in Beaumont following a visit from Mayor Becky Ames. Ames said, quote, as an elected official, I am held to a higher standard. I regret my action that day. I did not intend to take personal privilege while asking others to sacrifice, and for that I am truly remorseful.
You know, I went to Virginia Beach, as I just explained. I've always tried to accommodate people that want to take pictures, and I was unprepared. This is not just about me. This is about all Virginians, and it's about their public safety. And so I will continue to offer guidelines as to what's in everybody's best interest.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. Feel free to reach out there, leave a message, a text, a voicemail. I'd like to hear what you have to say about all this stuff. Even if you disagree with me, you can yell at me. Just don't curse. I can play it, you know, on the next show if it's any good. And criticism or, hey, you're right, whatever. 813-693-2124. Governor Rick DeSantis, last thing I want to touch on before we get out of here for the week, is they suspended drinking in bars here in late June. As some blame the rise in the coronavirus on late-night drinking and the lack of social distancing, Governor Ron DeSantis talked with local brewery owners here in last week on Thursday in St. Pete at Green Bench Brewing about their business struggles due to the coronavirus pandemic and their prospects for fully reopening, which I saw that Mayor Kreisman here was critical of this visit because he was not social distancing and didn't wear a mask at this event, which he is right. I'm not going to say he's wrong, but I think it was kind of like an open air. I don't know. Whatever. Doesn't matter. We started, he says, we started out down 70 to 75% in the middle of all this. We are down less than half now, said Mike Harding, who runs Three Daughters Brewing. That confidence is definitely coming back in the consumer, he said. In late June, as coronavirus spiked, Florida's Department of Business and Professional Regulation Security, Halsey Beshears, restricted bar sales of alcohol. DeSantis says that he expects to change that soon, and the order will come from the governor's office. I've told him I want every business in Florida operating, and we pretty much have 99%. You guys are kind of the last ones. Everyone else is up and running, DeSantis said. Some establishments have stayed alive by selling food, so patrons could also purchase alcohol and then drink it on site while they ate, but the workaround didn't fit every brewery owner. They have had it the roughest. There's no doubt about that, the governor said. It is unclear when or how the rules will change. DeSantis said any restrictions lifted on bars will vary based on the rate of COVID-19 cases in each community. The governor said he is still working out the details of how and when bars and breweries will be able to sell alcohol for consumers to consume on site. I mean, there's plenty of workarounds. There is, you just get some bologna sandwiches and some Wonder Bread and put that together. And as long as you're selling food, you just got to get a special certificate from the city or the state or whatever. And they give it to you and you're open. All the bars in downtown St. Pete are open. It's like nothing really changed. It's not, you know, people are being pretty responsible here and not going to them as much, but when I see Instagram stories from friends of mine who are not as responsible, they're pretty busy. They're pretty packed, and they're opening, and they're everything's kind of back to normal. So, whatever, we'll see what happens. We have the Labor Day holiday. Everybody's cautioning. The CDC is cautioning everybody to don't freak out. Don't freak out. Continue to social distance, nobody's going to do it. I mean, it sucks, but I expect there to be a big spike after this, and I guess we'll have the vaccine, it looks like, by October, November. So I'm not taking it. I'm going to risk it, and not take it. And they want everybody to get a flu shot as well. I don't do that or not. I don't know. I don't want to tell you what to do. I don't think I'm going to do it, but you should do it. Yeah, you go ahead and do it, and we'll experiment on you and see how it goes. But we'll see. All right, that's it. I'm going to get the hell out of here. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you so much. Please do tell a friend about it. Go to hmbradio.com. Click the donate page. Throw some tips in the tip jar there. I'd be appreciative. And, yeah, subscribe to the podcast. What else? I think that's it, right? Have a good week. I hope you don't get coronavirus. I love you. I'll see you next week. Will Koontz, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.